Welcome to the world on Thursday, the 3rd of July. I'm Sean Bindley from Australian Independent Radio News. Ghislaine Maxwell, the former girlfriend and longtime associate of the late disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein, was arrested in New Hampshire on Thursday on US charges of luring underage girls so that Epstein could sexually abuse them.
Ghislaine Maxwell, the former girlfriend and longtime associate of the late disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein, was arrested on Thursday on charges of luring underage girls so that Epstein could sexually abuse them.
Today we announced charges against Ghislaine Maxwell for helping Jeffrey Epstein sexually exploit and abuse multiple minor girls from the period of 1994 through 1997.
Acting U.S. Attorney for New York Southern District Audrey Strauss said Maxwell was taken into custody Thursday morning in New Hampshire, where the British-born socialite had been living, and was scheduled to appear before a New Hampshire judge later in the day. She is charged with four counts related to procuring and transporting minors as young as 14 years old for illegal sex acts and two counts of perjury.
Typically, they would befriend these young girls by asking them questions about their lives, pretending to be taking an interest in them. They would take them to the movies and treat them to shopping trips. Maxwell would encourage these young girls to accept offers from Epstein to pay for their travel and their education, making these young victims feel indebted to Jeffrey Epstein.
In some cases, Maxwell allegedly participated in the abuse herself.
For example, Maxwell would discuss sexual topics with the victim and undress in front of the victim or be present for sex acts involving the minor victims and Epstein. That abuse included sexualized massages during which the minor victim was fully or partially nude. These sexualized massages developed into sexual encounters for which Maxwell in some instances was present and participated.
Maxwell, the daughter of late British media magnate Robert Maxwell, has kept a low profile since the death of Epstein, who was awaiting trial on federal charges of trafficking minors when he was found hanged in an apparent suicide in a New York City jail last August.
More than 50,000 new COVID-19 cases have been reported in the United States on Wednesday. It's a new record, and public health experts expect that figure to keep growing as a number of states struggle to contain the virus. In the US, William Denslow reports.
At least five states, including California and Texas, recorded record amounts of new COVID-19 cases on Wednesday. More than 50,000 new cases of the coronavirus were recorded, and leading public health expert Dr. Anthony Fauci warns that figure could double in the future. More than 20 states have paused, slowed, or reversed reopening efforts in a bid to contain the virus. Fauci says it's not too late to avoid the scenario he presented, but with the July 4th holiday approaching, there are concerns those celebrations could fuel infections. William Denslow, New York.
Russians have voted overwhelmingly to pass constitutional changes that could allow President Vladimir Putin to stay in power until 2036. But opposition leaders have rejected the outcome, saying the vote was illegitimate and illegal. Lucy Tyler is in Moscow.
With 99% of the votes counted, more than three quarters approved changing the constitution. It means Vladimir Putin will be able to stand for two more terms in office. At the end of those, he'd be 84 years old. The changes were bundled into a single package of hundreds of amendments, but election monitors noted irregularities and say the votes cannot be called legitimate. Opposition leader Alexei Navalny says his supporters would never recognise the results, but would not protest for now because of the risks of the pandemic. Lucy Taylor in Moscow.
And the UK government is under pressure to go further in reassessing its relationship with China after it enacted a new security law for Hong Kong. Britain says it will provide a path to citizenship for as many as 3 million Hong Kong residents in response. But Conservative MPs are also urging the Prime Minister to bar Huawei from taking a role in the UK's 5G network. Government Minister Simon Clark says Huawei's limited involvement remains under review.
Well, we continue, obviously, to keep the wider security of our internet connectivity under active review. We made steps to cap their market share to make sure that they don't have access to the most sensitive parts of our network. And we continue, as I say, to make sure that we work to provide reasonable alternatives so that, frankly, we don't end up so reliant on them. We do not want to be in a position where any aspect of our network is reliant on a company which is obviously so closely linked to the Chinese state.
Meanwhile, a top-secret communication system used by criminals to trade drugs and arms has been successfully penetrated after messages on the encrypted service EncroChat were intercepted and decoded. The UK's National Crime Agency says more than 2 tonnes of narcotics, several dozen guns, and almost $70 million in suspect cash have been seized, and 746 arrests have been made. Benji Hire reports from London.
This was the UK's biggest and most significant law enforcement operation to date, according to the National Crime Agency. The Europe-wide operation, which lasted over 3 months, was described as a game-changer by the Metropolitan Police Commissioner, Dame Cressida Dick. Officers are thought to have prevented people being murdered after covertly monitoring planned attacks and threats to life on EncroChat. An estimate of 60,000 people, among them 10,000 in Britain, subscribe to the service, which works on customised Android phones and, according to its website, provides worry-free secure communications. But its messaging system has been allegedly used as a criminal marketplace to coordinate the supply of Class A drugs across the world and import weapons, including assault rifles and hand grenades. Benji Hire, London.
Dozens of countries are expected to be exempt from the UK's travel quarantine from Monday. Currently, most people arriving into the UK from anywhere apart from the Republic of Ireland have to self-isolate for 2 weeks. Now, government sources indicate that a very long list of states deemed low risk is likely to be published by the end of this week. Benji Hire again.
The British government is due to announce something which aviation bosses, tourism companies, many members of parliament and some scientists have advocated from the beginning. A targeted quarantine which only impacts people arriving into the UK from higher risk countries, such as the United States. This marks a contrast to the blanket style approach which has been in place for less than 4 weeks. Ministers had previously suggested they were working to establish a relatively small number of travel corridors. It's now possible that up to 75 countries will be exempt from the UK's quarantine. Some of those nations, though, do still have restrictions on people travelling in the other direction. Earlier this week, the European Union published its own list of 14 non-EU countries from which citizens are permitted. Benji Hire, London.
All children in England will return to school full-time in September, and attendance will be mandatory. The government's safety plans say that given the improved position, the balance of risk is now overwhelmingly in favour of children returning to school. Holly Hudson reports.
Restarting learning was critical to our national recovery, the Education Secretary said. The return will be based on separating groups of children into bubbles and minimising contact between them. So things like separate starting, finishing lunch and break times are no big group events like school assemblies. But if there are just 2 confirmed coronavirus cases in 2 weeks, all the pupils in that group or even the whole school may have to be sent home. To ensure that pupils don't fall any further behind, Gavin Williamson announced that attendance will be mandatory, and parents in England who don't send their children back could face fines. Holly Hudson, London.
South Korea has now recorded more than 50 cases of COVID-19 for 2 days in a row, prompting health authorities to consider tighter safety measures in the coming weeks.
South Korea isn't taking any chances. Health authorities say if there are 50 or more domestic cases daily for 2 weeks, they'll enforce stricter social distancing guidelines. That would mean shutting down high-risk venues like bars and nightclubs. It would also mean closing off sports stadiums and large venues to fans and other gatherings.
To Africa now, where South Africa's Western Cape still has the highest provincial total of COVID-19 infections, but the leading number of daily new infections has shifted this week to the smaller, more densely populated Gauteng province. Mark Routon reports.
Almost a quarter of South Africa's population is crammed into 3 large metros, where relaxed lockdown regulations have increased the risk of exposure for citizens desperate to return to work. Gauteng generates a third of South Africa's gross domestic product, but despite the economic loss it would cause, provincial government is now considering a return to a stricter level of lockdown as health services struggle to avoid being overwhelmed by new COVID-19 infections. Mark Routon, South Africa.
And finally, New Delhi is converting a sports stadium into a quarantine facility. The capital state has the largest caseload in India, and with a population of 25 million, the authorities are taking to requisitioning large structures for medical use. Ishan Garg has more from New Delhi.
It's also in the process of converting hotels and banquet halls into quarantine facilities, which will add another 15,000 beds. Delhi has also set an ambitious target of testing every household in the city by the 6th of July. Experts say if the growth rate in the state does not slow down, it could observe close to 150,000 cases by the end of July. Ishan Garg, New Delhi.
And that's the end of the world.
The World is produced daily in the studios of Australian Independent Radio News in association with the worldwide resources of Feature Story News Network, Washington, D.C.